Wow, what a pleasure to be back here at Calvary Bible Church. And it's so great to see a lot of folks I haven't seen for a while. When you get to be my age, I know who you are. I just can't remember the name sometimes, so don't let that insult you. Calvary Bible Church. Me and Judy were here for 20 years before we left to go and plant a church in Mount Wolf. And then with heart disease, I started a ministry called Pastor Dan Ministries, and I've been on the road ever since. So before I get into the message this morning, I have a couple shout-outs I want to do. Number one, I want to shout out to Pastor Dom, who promised me he'd be watching this morning. You talk about pressure, right? So, hi, Dom. You know, folks, I hope you really appreciate what a great pastor you have. Normally, my experience has been, and I know a lot of different pastors in different groupings, denominations, or fellowships, and some pastors are very strong in the pulpit, great orators of the Word of God, exposing the Word of God, but they're very weak in the pew, if you know what I'm saying. Some pastors are real strong in the pew, and the pew goes to sleep 5 minutes into their sermon. They're just weak in the pulpit. It's very rare. Believe me when I tell you this. It's very rare to get a pastor who's very strong in the pulpit and very strong with the pew. And you have one. I hope you appreciate that. I hope you appreciate the music ministry here. I mean, I just stood there and literally absorbed all the worship that was going on, that was filling this room, and it's just so beautiful. This is not in every church. You're blessed to have such a fantastic music ministry here at Calvary Bible Church. Well, let me tell you, this morning's message is going to be a hodgepodge of thoughts that I've had for the last 1 year and 2 months. Last week, I spoke at York Bible Church. I kind of feel sorry for those folks because I hadn't spoken in 1 year and 2 months, and I unloaded everything on them. So they got the blast last week, so we'll see that what the Lord has for you this week. I learned a great lesson, folks. I learned a great lesson. The scripture that was just read from James, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I have to hold on to the pulpit because I struggle with balance yet. That's one of the things I really haven't conquered, was good balance and stamina. And I fall down about, I don't know, every other week I fall down. But I've developed a great move. I call it now the tuck and roll. When I lose my balance, I kind of tuck my left shoulder in and just kind of roll right into it. So if you see me do that, don't get nervous. I can get up, and you know, I'll continue. And to thank Jason White was so nice to help me up the steps. I don't know, you probably didn't see that unless you were peeking during a prayer. So Jason helped me up the steps, and Judy said, you don't have to worry about getting down. You can just kind of roll down if you have to. So that's a supporting wife. But thank you, Judy. For 1 year and 2 months, you had to wait on me hand and foot. I was so bad, towards the end, I was in a wheelchair. And we had this chair in the living room, and we called it the slug chair. Excuse me, Judy called it the slug chair. I sat in that chair, it was a recliner, and I would sit there all day, couldn't hardly get up and move. And she's a great cook, so for a year I'm eating and not moving, so you know the end result on that, folks. So I'm telling you up front, you don't have to think it, yes, I've gained weight, okay? And yes, I look a little older. But man, oh man, I have a survey I want to take here at Calvary Bible Church. I left her almost 3 years ago. The interim, when I turned it over to Pastor Dom, what a glorious service that was, by the way, when we had the change of the guard there. How many folks have been coming to Calvary Bible Church 3 years and under? Can you put your hand up so I can see who you are? Whoa, that's a good number of people. Great. You haven't heard any of my jokes. Okay. Now, how many people here are proud card-carrying members of Medicare? Whoa! Well, we got two groups here this morning. We got the group that's never heard my jokes and the group that's forgot them all, right? So I can just go on and think like, man, that's like 80% of the congregation. Wow. That is so neat. I was at Emmanuel Evangelical Free Church. I was their interim pastor. I'd been there about a year. They were looking for a pastor. They had a young man they were looking at. And I didn't know how long the process would be because he had to leave his church to come to their church. So I figured I'd start a series in the book of James and go as far as I can until they called this pastor. Actually, I'm sorry, he was at Lancaster Bible College. He had to close out there and come in. So anyway, so I started a series in James chapter 1. And my first message to them was from James 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience produces its perfect work. That week, I developed an extremely sharp pain in my groin and upper hip, to the point where it got so bad that I had to resign my position because I couldn't hardly walk. And I realized it is so easy to preach for me, to preach and teach the Word of God. But God wants more than preaching and teaching of the Word. He wants us to live the Word. And I had to live, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know why it came from. But one thing I knew, God was still in control. What I found out is when you are so laid up, when all you have is Jesus, I realize that's all you really need. And Jesus carried me through that trial, that test of my faith. And this morning's message is called, Be Ready. Now, I could say, let's be ready for the second coming, right? How many folks believe Jesus is coming again? All right, well, let me tell you a quick story. We started coming here in 1982. The end of 82, we started attending Calvary Bible Church. And for you whiteheads that remember this, I love whiteheads. And for you whiteheads that remember this, the second coming was the big topic then. Tim LaHaye's series on, Left Behind, and there was a book, The Great Late Planet Earth, and movies were about the second coming, and it was the buzz of the air. Jesus is going to come back soon. And we started coming here to Calvary. I was a new Christian, and I was talking to a lot of the older saints here, and they were saying, he's got to come back soon. There's no, 1982, there's no way it can get any worse. Let me let you in on something, folks. It's got a lot worse. And it's probably going to get worse. It's going to get worse, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to be ready. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to share the reason for the hope that's within you. Always be ready. So we should be ready for the second coming. We also should be ready to meet our God, to stand before him as he judges us. Now, you will either stand before him cleansed by Jesus, or you'll stand there before him in your own sin and self. That's your choice. As for me, I'll let Jesus do it for me. And I'll stand in his righteousness and not my own. But this morning, what I want to say to be ready is talking about life in general, life itself. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I was not a good student. I was more into playing than studying, and I just really wasn't that prepared or ready for what they used to call, I don't know if they still do, called a pop quiz. You all know what that is, right? You go into the classroom, you're not expecting a test, and the teacher says, okay, everybody, put your notebooks aside, and he passes out papers, and he says, we're going to have a pop quiz to see how much you've learned in this class. You folks remember pop quizzes? I can't get too close. I might fall down. Listen. Life is a classroom. And God has you in his classroom. It's called planet Earth. It's called this life. It's called the world. It's not our home. It's not our kingdom. It's Satan's kingdom. And life is a classroom. And the Lord will send pop quizzes your way to see how you're doing. He knows. He wants to see how you're doing and show you how you are doing with this pop quiz. Parallel to James chapter 1, I'd like to read, and you can turn there if you want. I'm going to read from 1 Peter, who supplements James chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Now remember, James says, count it all joy when you fall into all various trials for the testing of your faith. Remember the phrase, testing of your faith. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter writes to Christians, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, of need be, you have been grieved by various trials, emotional trials, physical trials, trials at work, financial trials, trials in your family, any kind of trials. Life is a classroom. Pop quizzes coming at us all the time. By various trials, watch this now, that the genuineness of your faith, in other words, do you have a real faith? And is it in the right thing, the right person, the right place? The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. I love that. Folks, it does not say a child of God's faith is precious as gold. It says much more precious. How many folks have seen these commercials on TV? I mean, they're literally every time, it seems like every commercial, somebody's standing up and saying, you ought to buy gold, you ought to buy silver. The Bible pushes that aside and says, your faith, God counts more precious, much more precious than gold. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is tested by fire? Your faith is tested. And James says, be ready. 1 Peter says, be ready. If I put them together, the common theme is be ready for the test, because it's coming if you're not already in it. And they're all shapes and they're all sizes. When I went down, I had no idea what was going on. The doctors didn't even know. It took them almost a year to diagnose exactly what was wrong. And boy, my faith was being tested. And I kept saying, I count it all joy, Lord. I count it all joy, Lord. But it's hard to count it all joy when you're in intense pain, emotionally and physically. But I'm telling you, spiritually, and that's where we need to put ourselves a lot of times, in the realm of the spirit, not the flesh. Spiritually, I thank the Lord for the test he gave me for a year and 2 months of being laid up with a hip problem. Because I had to live the Word of God. And the Lord is interested in our faith. Our faith is important to God. Our faith should be very important to us. Now, I'm just going to give you some verses. Don't try to turn there, because I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. Hebrews 11:6. Some of you may know that. Without genuine faith, it's impossible to please God. That's amazing. Not difficult. Impossible to please God unless we live by faith. Now, if you were to take that chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter, and you take chapter 11 and you look at the very first verse, and again, some of you probably know this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, right? But I'm going to teach you something. I'm not much of a teacher. I'm much more of a preacher. But I'm going to try to teach you something this morning. The first two words of that verse. Now faith. Not yesterday's faith. Not tomorrow's faith. Now faith. Your faith right now. And in that chapter, 16 times, it says people lived by faith. You read it 16 times. And they did this by faith. And they went there by faith. And they had this by faith. 16 times. Now, you'll never have a life lived by faith until you develop your now faith. You get that? Only now faith can produce something by faith. Because yesterday's or last week or last month's faith is not going to carry you through the test. So God says, I want to strengthen your now faith because your faith pleases me because it's in me. Why would it shock us that the Lord puts us in positions that we have to demonstrate a now faith if it's that now faith that pleases him? Don't put your hand up, but if I were to quiz you and say, how many folks here really, 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 really want to live a life that pleases God? I would hope every hand in this auditorium goes up. If you say you wouldn't lift your hand up, you need to do some serious prayer about that. Because if a child of God, that's what we're called to do. Live a life of faith, because our faith pleases God. And the only way you can please God is to live a life by faith. Trust. The literal Greek word there has the picture of rolling over all your weight. That's what faith means. I put all my weight on an object and trust that object to hold me and carry me. So God says, your faith is important to me. Do you realize that the middle verse of the entire Bible, and if you've never done this, you're going to find it and mark it down. This is the middle verse from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22, the end verse. You add all those verses up, divide it right down the middle, and what is the middle verse? Man, when you think of that, it could be a lot of different things, right? The middle verse could have been, and then he went out and hung himself. What is the middle verse of Scripture? And you would say, well, that's coincidental. No, I think it's by providence. The middle verse of Scripture is Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. And it says, it is better to put your trust in the Lord than your confidence in man. Somebody ought to say amen to that. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. That's not only the middle verse, that's the central theme of Scripture. Put your faith in Jehovah, who has revealed himself in Jesus. Live by faith. When the tests come, are you ready? Let your faith kick in. And there's some difficult tests. And sometimes you say, why, Lord? It's a test. Just grab hold of Jesus and ride it out to faith. Middle verse, 118:8. I think one of the most important verses in all of Scripture, you can disagree with this, this is my opinion, not the most important, obviously those referencing Jesus and the salvation he's bought for you by dying on the cross for you, but a very important verse is found in Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, verse number 4. Wow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, think about it. That's every day of our lives. Anybody here guaranteed tomorrow? Anybody here guaranteed this afternoon? We're constantly, now notice it says walk through the valley, not stay in the valley. A valley is a piece of land between two mountaintops. You think about it. A valley is a parcel of land between two mountains. And when you get in the valley, by faith, you got to keep moving. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Didn't Jesus say as a believer, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Do you really believe that? So if we're having a pop quiz, no matter what the quiz is, the answer is always J-E-S. U.S., and you'll score real good on that pop quiz. As a matter of fact, one of our favorite verses in all of Scripture from the Old Testament is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path. Make your path straight. Folks, you got to believe the Bible and then live the Bible. Now, I could quote a lot of verses from the New Testament. Boy, the New Testament, 11:6, Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. But the New Testament says we got to walk by faith. We got to live by faith. We get saved by faith. We're justified by faith. Our whole life is a life of faith. We're just passing through, and the test is, how is your faith? Are you ready for a pop quiz? How do you develop faith? There's only two ways you can really develop a strong faith: prayer and meditation on the Word of God, and believe it. Read it and believe it. Read it and live it. Now, James says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So that's living out your faith. James 1:22. Most of you probably know this one. Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Modern translation, do not sit soaking sour. Get up off of your blessed assurance and live it. Live it, even in the trial. It's time to live your faith and show it The great commission that's given us in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We all know that. The great commission. Jesus said, go, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've commanded you. Now, what I quoted is the great omission of the great commission. Because it doesn't say teach them everything that I've taught you. It says, teach them to obey everything that I've taught you. Did you get that, church? Teach them. The purpose of proper teaching is to challenge you to do what you're taught. Going to Bible studies is great. Living that Bible study is another thing. The Apostle Paul, who's probably a great hero for us. It should be. He's probably the strongest Christian that's ever walked the planet Earth. He's not Jesus, of course, but he was a very, very godly man, anointed with power from the Holy Spirit. You may remember the story in Acts chapter 9. Jesus is going to Damascus, and in his hand he has letters that he will lock up, possibly kill, and destroy anything he can that's related to Christianity. That was his purpose, to go there and run up a bunch of Christians and do whatever he wanted to do with them. On the way to Damascus, he has an encounter of the divine kind. A bright light shines. It's Jesus. Paul falls off his horse. I want you to grab his way. If the person next to you is falling asleep, give him an elbow. I want him to hear this now. Paul's knocked off of his horse, and he says, who are you, Lord? And the voice came back to him, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And then Paul's exact next response, and I believe this is where Paul got saved, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What actions do you want me to take? How do you want me to live out my experience of accepting you as my Savior? And from that moment on, if you follow Paul's life, he never got over getting saved. He never got used to salvation. He never got used to proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, we weren't there. The Bible doesn't say, but before they lopped his head off, I guarantee his mouth was running. Because he wanted to tell the guards that were killing him that they needed Jesus Christ for their soul's eternal salvation. What a model. Lord, what would you have me do? Are you ready, church? Can we say that? Do you say that? How about this? Let's make a covenant between you and me. Now, we'll keep it a secret. Pastor Dom, turn off the TV. And we'll make it a secret not to tell Pastor Dom, because if we do this, he will see it. How about if every morning when we wake up, when you get to the point where you know who you are and where you are, now you're awake, right? And you start your day off like this. Jesus, what would you have me do today for you? And then when he speaks to your heart, do it. James 4:17, this is a terrible verse for anybody that's having some struggles. It's not a kind verse, it's a truth. For him that knows to do good, and he does not do it, it's sin. Wow. Lord, what would you have me do? And your heart says, you got to talk to that neighbor next door that every other day is carrying a case of beer into the house. Lord, what would you have me do? Make sure your boss at work knows you're a child of God and you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, what would you have me do? Visit that poor shut-in that hasn't had anybody come see him for a long time and take him some love. I don't know what the answer would be. If you're sincere, you will get an answer. So let's start this morning, hopefully make it a commitment that every morning we're going to do what the Apostle Paul did as soon as he realized who he was talking to. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, the Christos, the Messiah, the Deliverer. He said, Lord, what would you have me do? And he passed the test. He passed the test. My time is evaporating. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, well, that's another thing, all the different churches we've been in, I always say, take your Bible and open to such and such. And normally you can hear the holy pages turning. But if you're in a church that's got a lot of younger folks, they don't have a Bible in your hand. They have some kind of a hand device. And they look it up. That's okay. And they look it up in there. So let me amend my challenge. If you have your Bibles, open to Mark chapter number 8. If you have your hand, 4, Mark 4. If you have your hand devices, please get into Mark chapter number 4. We're going to see Jesus, the Son of God, give a pop quiz to his disciples. Now, this is an old story for many of you, but let's put it in the context of a pop quiz to the disciples just to see how they do. I love this story. I've preached it several different times at several different churches. It is so true. It is so great. And we'll close with this story. And I hope you take serious the charge to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. When the test comes, you got to live your faith so others can see what it looks like when a Christian goes through that trial. Let's see how the disciples did. Now, keep in mind, Mark chapter 4, it's been a while. They've been with Jesus now almost a year and a half. They've seen him raise someone from the dead. They've seen him heal the sick, give speech to the dumb, the lame. He's raised. He's given great words of wisdom. He just preached a whole message on parables of the kingdom. And the boys were there. So if you look at, let's go right before chapter 4. Let me see, 4:33. Yeah, okay. In 4:33, chapter 4, verse 33. Let me read it. And we'll be quick here. And with many such parables he spoke. Before this, it's a whole list of different parables Jesus shared with a lot of people, and the disciples were there. Okay. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, him and his disciples, he explained all things to his disciples. Oh, what a Bible study that had to be. They didn't have to have a Bible in their hand. They were talking to it. Can you imagine being in a class that Jesus is the teacher? And he's telling them and explaining all things to his disciples. We don't know what it was, but what a class that had to be. What a class that had to be. He's explaining to them who he is. He's explaining to them his mission to come to earth and die for the sins of the world. He's explaining to them about trusting him, that he's going to go away to another place, but be not afraid. I'll be with you. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and where I go, you will come and be with me. He's explaining all things that we read in the Bible in this Bible study, so we don't know how long it is. But in verse number 35, he ends the Bible study. And probably, I don't know, let's just say, if me or Pastor Rick was doing the Bible study, when you're done, it's fair to say, you folks understand? You got it, right? I mean, I just shared with you this information. You okay with it? And the disciples may have said, Lord, we got it. We with you. You be the man, Lord. We are with you to the end. And on the same day when evening had come after the class, he said to them, all right, let's go cross over to the other side. Now, does anybody have any questions about that command right there? Let's go cross over to the other side, the lake. Very clear. And they all probably said, yes, Lord. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also went into the water. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose. Notice it says a great windstorm arose. Lake Galilee, I mean, they always had different storms come up. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that was already filling. There's your test. All right, get in the boat. We're going to the other side, guys. Okay, Jesus. A lot of these guys have been at boats many times. They're fishermen. And they're in the middle of the lake. And the Bible says a great windstorm, not just a windstorm. This is a super-duper windstorm. It comes up, and the waves are real high, and they're cracking over them, and the boat is starting to fill. And guys, this is the test. Child of God, in their ears should have been ringing, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. I'm commanding that we go to the other side. If I could say parenthetically, that's me and you in the boat. You think you know the Bible. You say you trust Jesus as your Savior. You're in the boat. We're going to the other side. The other side might be heaven, right? Jesus said, I'm going to take you to heaven. And now a great storm comes up in our life. How did they react to the test that they were given? How would you react to the test? And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. I guess he was. He said, we're going to the other side. Guys, it's just a test to see if you really will trust me. Let's see how they respond. Now, Jesus is asleep. You think they're going to wake him up and say, hey, Jesus, it's a great storm, but we know we're going to the other side because you said so, and we trust you, and our faith is very strong. It's in you, Jesus. So can't you kind of get up and just tell the waves to cut it out? That would be hopefully a test of a Christian when he goes through the trial. Lord, I don't understand. This is very difficult, but I'm trusting you, Lord. In this valley, I will not fear because you're with me. So what do they do in verse number 38? No, excuse me. Yeah, 38. After they see him asleep on the pillow, they say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What? Wait a minute. Don't they realize in just a few short months and years, he's going to die for them? And they're asking him, do you care? I mean, they not only have weak faith, at this point, they have zero faith in what Jesus said. Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Verse 39, and Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. I love this. I love this. Rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Who is Jesus talking to? He's not talking to his disciples, that's for sure, right? They're scared to death that they're going to die and perish. Jesus speaks to the waves. Question, church, what would you call somebody standing on Ocean City's beach talking to the ocean? I got one word for you. He's a nut. But see, if you're screwed to the right bolt, amen, then you can handle that. I got to think, listen, one wave said to the other wave, I know that voice. That's the Creator. He's the one that created us. So Jesus speaks to the waves, and he tells them, that's it, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a, what kind of calm, church? See, only Jesus can bring a great calm when you're in a great storm. And it would have fared so much better for the disciples if they had trusted him all the way to this point, knowing he would do it. But he said to his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have little faith? Is that what it says? No faith. They got a zero on their test. They didn't get an A or a B or a C or a D. They got a zero on the test. And if anybody should have known better, you would think it would be the 12, right? So a point I want to make to you is don't beat yourself up when you don't do good on a test. Just learn from it and get ready for the next test, because it'll come. And when it comes, you want to make sure you're ready. How you doing this morning, church? How you doing, individual? Mr., Mrs., child, who, anybody here, individually, how is your journey of faith? I'm going to tell you, after a year and 2 months of being laid up and watching YouTube messages, eating Judy's food, sitting in the slug chair, meditating, My faith right now is as strong as it's ever been because I've seen what he can do. I was scheduled for surgery. 4 days before surgery, they canceled it because my heart went up and I failed a stress test. Oh, it hurt. Lord, what are you doing here? I thought there was a possibility that Jesus was saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You don't have to preach anymore. Just sit in that slug chair the rest of your life. But see, I didn't want that slug chair. I hate that slug chair. I wanted to preach. And as soon as I had the surgery and I knew my hip was much better, I called up some pastors and said, if you have anything available, I'd love to come in. And Pastor Don was so generous and said, yes, I'll be on vacation this particular week. Could you preach? I said, sure, I'd love to. Man, Calvary Bible Church, that's the Cadillac of the churches I've been in. What a joy it is to be here and talk to you folks. How is your faith? I want to leave here at least knowing I challenged you. The strength in your face when Jesus says we're going to the other side. For us, it's heaven. Folks, we're going to get there. But he never said it would be a smooth journey. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, trials, tests, issues, problems, people. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Man. The disciples, I would to God the disciples went to Jesus. Look, Jesus, this storm's pretty bad. The boat's sinking. Now, you said we're going to the other side, so I got two options here, Lord. I got to bail all this water out, or you're going to make the first submarine ever known to man and get to the other side, right? But they didn't. Lord, don't you care that a son of God, don't you care, the one that's going to die for them? Honestly, church, we can do better than that. We must do better than that. Let me close with an illustration and challenge yourself on this. A lot of you that know me know that I used to work for Giant Food, but I always like to do this. How many folks shop Giant Food? I need my retirement check every month, okay? There you go. Keep it up. I mean, if you, those that didn't raise your hand, can I challenge you? Get into Giant Food and buy something. So I was the manager of Lock Raven and Taylor, and there was a rap on the front door, and I answered the door. And it was a real nice elderly lady standing there, and she had a receipt in her hand. And she had a yellow container in her hand. Now, does anybody want to take a guess what this yellow container is full of? It says there, traditional yellow mustard. Watch this now. On the outside, it says it's mustard. It's shaped and yellow like it should be mustard. There should be no doubt what's on the inside. And she says, I'd like to have my money back for this container. I said, is there something wrong with the mustard? She said, hold out your hand. And like a fool, being nice to the lady, I said, yes, ma'am. I put my hand there, and she took the mustard container and squeezed it. And ketchup came out. I had never seen that in my life, pre or post, at all. It got in the wrong line or something, but she squeezed it, and ketchup came out. And I said, whoa. I've never seen that before. Of course, we gave her a full refund for the mustard. My point is this, folks. You're the mustard container. It looks like a mustard, says it's mustard, but when you squeezed it, ketchup came out. You're in church this morning. You say you're a child of God. You look like a child of God. You talk like a child of God. You read the Bible like a child of God. But when you're squeezed by a trial, I mean, big time squeezed, what comes out? Jesus or ketchup? Right? The squeeze is the test to show you how strong you are in your Christian walk on the inside. I know what the outside looks like. We can all talk the talk. But man, when you get squeezed, do you walk the walk? So I close with this challenge this morning, the commitment every day to say, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you want me to live this day? And maybe you're here this morning, just maybe, and you're not sure that you're a child of God. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He went to heaven for you. He's sitting at the right hand of God for you, and he's offering salvation just for you. And you got to do something with that. You either accept it or reject it. So we're going to close our eyes in just a moment. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads in just a moment. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're a child of God, you need to make sure, you need to address that this morning. You don't want to leave here and take a chance on dying and going to a place the Bible calls hell. You don't want to go to hell. I hope you want to go to heaven, but I don't want you saying a prayer just to go to heaven. That's a benefit of salvation. You say a prayer because you realize you're a lost sinner. Boy, does that offend people when you tell them they're a sinner. I've never killed anybody. When you raise a child, you never have to teach them to be bad. Part of their nature. You have a sin nature that causes you to sin. And Jesus died for those sins. And does our country need the gospel or what? That's another whole topic. And this morning, maybe you've wavered. Maybe you're used to being saved. Maybe you just show up because it's the thing to do on Sunday morning. Maybe your heart and you're so dry. Jesus wants to give you a fresh start this morning for him. And you can do that with a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning, I'm rededicating my life. I want to walk by faith. I want to live for you by faith. I want my life to count to the very end for Jesus. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Have a moment of silent prayer while you talk to the Son of God, who loves you and died for you and offers you eternal life for your eternal soul. And for the child of God, he offers you a revival, a fresh start, a fresh and new right here this morning. Last day of July, July 31, 2022 is your day to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm starting fresh. So if you'd be so kind to pray silently and talk to Jesus, and then in just a moment, I'll close this out. As a testimony between you, heaven, and me, and it'll be a covenant right now this morning that heaven, you, and me, you make a commitment to accept Jesus as your Savior or rededicate your life to walk with him. Nobody's looking around. I'd like you to lift your hand up high and say, Pastor Dan, this morning, I rededicated myself to Jesus. Anybody across the room? Anybody at all? Well, good. Then we all should be walking by faith. Wake up tomorrow morning and, Lord, what can I do for you? Pastor Rick?
Let's stand as we sing this morning. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
Just the ladies. Just the men.
For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb.
But all together,
Jesus paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still sing it nice and strong. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Church, can I ask you to sit down for a moment?